you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 12.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. That was 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 12.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 5th, 2024. We're marching right along into this new month. And joining me in the studio today is two new friends. I'm just getting to know David King from the CU Church and his community involvement. He's in charge or helps oversee local missions through the CU Church. I know they're very active in the greater Champaign-Urbana area and actually doing things in Fisher and Monticello and other areas. Some of the smaller towns, they have these pizza gatherings or cookouts, fun activities, but I appreciate getting to know David. But this past Sunday, yesterday, Dan Chung was in, and he's with Crossing Borders, and you can find out more at crossingbordersnk.org, and just think of North Korea, crossingbordersnk.org. But he shared briefly how he sees God at work in his life, and he gave a little overview of some of the ministry work he's doing. And so he's going to be a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, maybe turning our Monday program into a Testimony Tuesday to see how God is using him through this ministry, Crossing Borders, reaching people in North Korea, South Korea, and China. So thank you both for joining me on short notice and pulling it all off. So David, what impacted you about some of his testimony or the friendship as you've seen him used of God?
Well, Dan and I, we've been friends since college. We actually lived together in 1999. A lot of great memories there, a lot of fun times, but it's just been incredible to see how God's been using us in our different parts of the world and also to affect the world. So, man, if you want to hear about like how Dan and I got reconnected, I could share about that.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to try to have you back in the coming days for a special Testimony Tuesday to hear a little of your own faith journey. But I know when you were introducing him or you mentioned something, you said, don't bring up too many of those college stories or something.
That's right.
You both have good senses of humor. But share maybe a little groundwork on how you saw God calling both of you into ministry.
Yeah, that's right. Well, for me, my dad's a pastor, so he actually received his calling from God to go into the ministry here in Champaign, Urbana. I was born in Urbana, and it was during that time that my parents were going to church, and God was just moving in tremendous ways. At the Korean church, my parents and also a couple other families, they would be praying, kid you not, from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. And asking for God to bring revival in this town, and just God impressed it upon their hearts and upon these families just to do God's work. So my mom, she was a nurse in town at Carl Foundation Hospital. My dad, he was a wig shop owner. Why? Because someone told him, his friends told him, gave him bad intel, said wigs are what's going to be hot. So buy a lot of wigs and sell them. Bad intel.
Yeah.
Wow. But God was working in him. So they would pray from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. Then they would wake up at 5 a.m., go to morning prayer. And then he would go to work. And it was no problem that no one was coming into the store. Like, literally, no one was coming to the store. But what he would do is that he would preach to the wigs. He was so impacted by God's word. He needed to tell somebody about it. And even if there was nobody, he would preach to the wigs, maybe praying, bring these bones to life. I don't know. But God called him to the ministry during that time. And for me, that's impactful because even though my parents never forced me to go into the ministry, I think just being raised up.
Yeah, they were modeling it.
They were modeling it. And my dad's my hero because he never had a prominent ministry, just maybe 50 people at most, became a pastor when he was 50. So it's never too late to do what God is calling you to do. So at the age of 50, called to be a pastor, and I just saw his faithfulness, just character, just loving God, loving people. He actually never took a penny from the church because he was a pastor, but he also owned a carpet cleaner company because we had to have money.
Right.
So that's what he did. But he just always gave back to the church. And a lot of people would call him a failure, but I see his faithfulness.
Yeah.
And that just resided in me. So God called me into the ministry. Actually, when Dan and I we were rooming together, it was kind of funny because I was leading a small group at that time. And that's when
Where's this at?
That's actually in Champaign-Urbana, okay. a college church that we went to.
Okay.
We went to the same college church, and God was working powerfully through that.
Amen.
And my wife and I, we knew each other as friends, but we led a small group together. And it was after that time that God called us both into ministry. Mm. But also brought us both together and just a sense to do God's work.
Yeah.
So Dan and I, we met through that time. We're friends. We roomed together. A lot of great memories. And then later on down the road, another friend of ours, he started ministering to North Korean refugees.
Mm. Yeah.
And man, that's a crazy, incredible story. And then Dan, he's part of the leadership board there. So the reason why we got reconnected is because my birthday's on April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave the jokes aside for that. But then Dan's birthday is on April 2nd.
Okay.
So it's always, you know, next to each other.
Yeah.
So we were texting each other saying, happy birthday. And then during that time, the thought crossed my mind, God is using Dan and crossing borders incredibly just to impact people. What if we just partner together?
Yeah.
Together? Now at this time, are you at CU Church?
While I'm at CU. This is this past year, a couple of months ago.
Okay.
You know, and I know God is just using CU Church and even with our leadership, just doing whatever God is doing, just pouring into, we here at CU Church, pouring gas on whatever there's fires that God is building up.
Amen.
So I called up Dan, said, hey, Dan, what are you up to? Right? And then we ended up talking, said, hey, are there any needs that you have as an organization?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, let me tell you about it. So that just sparked conversation and just partnership within that. Yeah. That's just how God just took off with it.
So, Amen. Dan, then how did God lead you into Crossing Borders? Did you establish it? You're the executive director,
yeah.
but was that already launched?
So our friend who Dave was talking about, his name is Mike Kim. He took a missions trip to Northeast China in July of 2001.
Hmm.
And he was greatly impacted by that trip. He came back. He told me a story about a North Korean refugee girl. And I said, what's a North Korean refugee?
Hmm.
At that moment, 2001, the world did not yet know about the famine that was happening in North Korea. The news had not come out yet. And so he was telling me about this little girl. He showed me a picture of her. She looked like she was 7 years old, but she was actually 14.
Hmm.
And because of the process, it's called stunting.
Hmm.
When you can't eat during your formative puberty years, you stay looking like a child, even though you're 14. But despite that, she was sold to a Chinese man.
Mm.
And he was just telling me that story. I could not believe it.
Mm.
I could not believe that was happening to other Koreans around the world. And I couldn't sleep after that.
Okay.
I really had to try to do something. And I was young enough to think that I could do something. God used my young bravado for his glory as well.
And what precipitated that, like your own faith journey? When did Jesus become real? Were your parents believers?
So I was born in Korea in 1977 in South Korea, and my parents moved to Chicago a couple months later. And we started going to a church that my uncle was a pastor of, and we went to that church throughout my childhood. And that's where I became a Christian. And that's how I started loving the Lord. Coincidentally, I did not know this, but my uncle, whose sermons that I grew up listening to, he was from North Korea.
Wow. Hmm.
And he was a pastor in North Korea. So he was actually significantly older than my aunt, my dad's sister. And he was a man of very few words. And my dad didn't even know this, but after he had passed away, we found this book about him written in like the 50s. It's called Christ of the Korean Heart.
Wow.
I have a copy now. It's not in print anymore. But he was a pastor who was persecuted, you know, after World War II. The communists took over the North side, and they started killing Christians. Mm. And he was hidden under floorboards by his church to be preserved his life. And so he listened while his congregation was executed above him. As he was being hidden under those floorboards, they left and he had to run away.
Wow.
And that's how he came to the South, and that's how he met my aunt. And that's how he became my pastor. I didn't know this until after he died, and I had already started crossing borders.
Wow.
So it was like a spiritual 360, you know.
And we'll share this at the end of the program, but in case you're at a point where you're driving to work or something, we'll give this a few times. But you can find out more about this ministry that Dan helps oversee as their executive director at crossingbordersnk.org. crossingbordersnk.org. And I have in front of me one of their annual reports that show the many different things that they're working on, showing where the funds are going, a number of pictures, but most all of them, their faces are blurred out or you see the backside of them. And you write, the impact of our work is often an unanswered question. It can feel like casting bait into a murky pond. What does that mean? And talk a little bit about your threefold main ministry goals.
It just reminds me of Jesus saying, I will make you fishers of men, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're fishing for men, you're not always successful. You know, we try to do our best in our work, starting programs that will save as many lives as possible, minister to as many North Koreans as possible. And we pray that God will bless it. But at the end of the day, it's just a guess. We're just doing our best with the resources that we're given.
Right.
And so we cast our work forward. Sometimes it works out and other times it doesn't. But we just try to honor God in the successes and failures.
As I read through this, and you do minister through refugee camps or people that are refugees, they come from maybe North Korea into South Korea.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy because of their background or the baggage they carry or because of prejudice. You would think, the North Koreans, they'll find freedom and come to Christ. Well, it's not an easy road for them to follow.
Yeah. Think about if America, you know, the South seceded during the Civil War. Think about if the countries continued to be divided and what animosity would exist between the two. And that's what, I mean, it exists today in some ways.
Yeah, the Yankees.
Right. And so that same animosity exists between the North and South. You know, everyone knows about in North Korea, they are indoctrinated with simple math in their elementary schools. Oh, if I throw one grenade and kill a South Korean, and then I throw another grenade and I kill three Americans, how many people did I kill? I mean, these are the types of math problems that they learn in elementary school. So a lot of people know about North Korea's side, but on the South Korean side, there has been some indoctrination as well. South Korea has had military dictatorships as well, doing pretty awful things to its own citizen. I'm very thankful for my country, but that's just our history. Yeah. So there is residue for sure.
So then what led up to you helping co-found Crossing Borders?
Yeah. So my friend Mike, who took that trip in 2001, in 2003, he packed his bags, quit his job, and he said, I'm going to move out there. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just have to try to help. And so I said, okay, I'll help you. I didn't know how I would help him, but I just wanted to help my friend and help North Koreans as well. And that started us on an incredible journey that's lasted to this day.
Now, talk about those three main ministries, because I know you're trying to be focused. You can't do all things to all people, but I know you do work with refugees. You're trying to build an established community, and you're also serving Chinese or in China.
Yeah, so this is the story of a typical North Korean when they escape. They can't go directly south into South Korea. They have to go north into China. To the south is the demilitarized zone, the most heavily militarized border in the world. So they have to go into China. But China and North Korea are friends. And China has agreed to make it as uncomfortable as possible for North Koreans. They are given no human rights. It's actually legal to murder a North Korean in China.
Wow.
There's no recourse for that.
Yeah.
So when they come in, most of the people who come into China are women. 70%, 75% are women. And because of China's gender imbalance, because the one-child policy has made it so China has about 30 million more men than women, they need to fill the gap somehow, and these women come in with no human rights. You could see what happened. So in China, we do this work through the underground church. We minister to these North Korean women. We start little congregations, and at first we helped them with financial needs. You know, that's never a good long-term strategy to just keep on giving money, although some people still need it. But we started communities where they can help each other, and that has built a longer-lasting community for these women.
And some of them that come out, as you try to introduce them to the gospel and that there's a God who loves them, is that such a foreign concept? You know, they may have experienced love in their family, but because of the harsh conditions, what are their questions like when you start to talk about Jesus?
Well, in the early days, especially when Mike first moved out there and he would meet a North Korean who had just come into China, they would cower in the other side of the room because North Koreans are led to believe that Americans, this is not an exaggeration, they're baby-eating monsters, right? And so as an American, you know, you could imagine what their reaction would be. Yeah, North Korea is a harsh place. And Kim Il-sung, the founder, his son Kim Jong-il, and his grandson Kim Jong-un, who currently rules the country, they are merciless. They are graceless. If you ever question anything that they do or said, you will be sent to a prison camp and you will be tortured. And there's no trials. They can just, on suspicion of that, send you to prison camp. So when they meet the Lord, who is gracious and kind, who said on the cross, Father, forgive them, this is like giving water to someone thirsty because it is such a refreshing breath of life for them.
And it's probably somewhat of a mystery, too. But what I've always appreciated about the South Korean believers that I've met, being so faithful in prayer, and when you were talking, David, about your folks, 9 at night till 3 or 1 in the morning, and trips to Israel, the South Koreans are always the first up in the hotels, and at 5 or 4:30, they're already praying in the lobby or wherever, and you go to the Garden Tomb, and they're worshiping, they're praising the Lord. Yeah. It's a tribute to the people that are so faithful in prayer. It's a great model to many of us. And so how about talking a little about those three main ministries, Elim House, the Elim Community, and you talked a little about how you try to minister to people in China.
So Elim House is a ministry we started in South Korea in the year 2020. It is a safe house for women. To get to South Korea, they have to go through China, and they have to go basically from Maine to Arizona. That's basically the distance they have to travel to. They have to cross illegally through Laos, run through the drug routes in the mountains, about 100 miles to get to Thailand. And that finally then they will be acknowledged as people. And once they get there, they can get South Korean citizenship. So they arrive in South Korea. They are given about $20,000 to start a new life. South Korea is a very wealthy country. But everything's supposed to be okay when you reach South Korea. But it's not okay. Because of the starvation you experienced in North Korea, because of the human trafficking you that just experienced in China, and then the route out of China is very traumatic as well. So these people are struggling. They're struggling a lot. And so we help people in South Korea who get into trouble. Sometimes they go to prison. Sometimes they get into bad relationships and need to run away.
And so you have this safe house, a place that they can be. And that's where you develop the community. You help them start integrating into the society.
We really want to help their physical, emotional, and spiritual health in a safe community. So it starts at Elim House, but then we have a program called Elim Community, where for people who don't need a safe house, who are just trying to live their lives, they need community. 82% of North Koreans in South Korea say they don't have any community. they're just living alone, trying to work, make as much money as possible. And when you have that much trauma, you need people to be able to share with, to be able to vent to be able to share your experience with. And, you know, me and Dave, our families had the Korean community growing up. It was such a strong presence in our lives. These people are immigrants as well, and they have no one. Mm. And they're heavily traumatized. So we want to create that community for them so that, again, they could help each other.
Listening friend, this is a needed work being used of God to touch people around the world, especially those from North and South Korea, some from China also. Find out more at crossingbordersnk.org. That's crossingbordersnk.org. If you're driving to work or something and didn't get to write down that information, just call the station and we can convey it to you. 217-367-7777. David, I'm going to ask you to close out our program praying for this great ministry, Crossing Borders, and the work that Dan is doing, but also for the listener today. They might be struggling. The concept of a loving God might be foreign to them. And then also our senior saints that are maybe being encouraged, and they can be called upon to be praying for Crossing Borders or praying for God to work around the world. So kind of try to cover all those in our closing minute.
Absolutely. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that you love us so much. And thank you for this ministry right here at this radio station, this radio program. We pray that you continue to bless it. We also pray for Crossing Borders ministry as we think about the North Korean refugee women and all the hurts and the pains that they've gone through. God, you see it all. And God, through Jesus Christ, you understand all of our pains and you weep. But God, you don't stand to the side and do nothing. You allow us to be a part of this work. So God, for all the senior saints, enable us, wake us up, and help us to pray for your work to be done in North Korea, South Korea, and in China. For those of us that don't understand your grace and that have gone through abuse and hurt and that are angry towards you, we pray that we'll keep on speaking to you because you're a God that is patient and listens, and you just want to keep on conversing to us. And Lord, help us to know that you're never finished, that God, you're not done, you're not through with us yet, but that you love us and that you'll continue to love us and you want to use us for your glory. So God, may we glorify you in all that is done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Listening friend, find out more information at crossingbordersnk.org. And thank you, Dan. Thank you, David, for joining me for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And David, I'm going to have you back to share some of your faith journey and life story and the work God's doing through you, overseeing local missions and community engagement for CU Church. God's doing some great work through Pastor Jason and Pastor Daniel and your whole great team there. But listening friend, Crossing Borders is doing a needed work of God, helping these North Korean women, those that are crossing over from China, providing safe refuge and building some community so that they can know the love of God. So be praying up that ministry work and find out more at crossingbordersnk.org, crossingbordersnk.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dan Chung, and David Kang with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.